chapter 2 tonight is where we'll be. And tonight I want to begin a message. It'll be a three-part message here in Philippians chapter 2. And the title of the message is Servant of All. Servant of All. And here in chapter number 2, verses 1 through 11, and we're going to break it down into three different sections over the next, Lord willing, three Sunday nights. Tonight we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 and just briefly at verse 5. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday night we'll look at verses 5 through 8. And then we'll look at verses 9 through 11. All three of those sections are, they're not mutually exclusive, but they do have, each one of those sections teaches us something wonderful about being a servant. And so we're going to look at those in three different parts. And tonight, in verses 1 through 4, I want us to see Paul's passionate exhortation. Paul's passionate exhortation. When we talk about the matter of being a servant. And by the way, next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to see the Savior's supreme example, verses 5 through 8. No greater example of being a servant than what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us and what is described in verses 5 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 11, we will see the Father's faithful exaltation. But tonight, I want us to see Paul's passionate exhortation, and he is exhorting the church at Philippi regarding this matter of service, and even a little deeper than that. We'll see that tonight. In chapter number 1, Paul speaks much about suffering. He speaks about his bonds. He even closes out the chapter in verses 29 and 30, speaking about the matter of suffering in verse number 29. But in chapter number 2, he speaks immensely about the matter of being a servant. And so that's what we want to begin to look at tonight, this matter of service. And so let's read, and we'll think about Paul's passionate exhortation. I'm thankful tonight. It doesn't matter what they do or what the subject matter is. I am thankful for anybody who's passionate about what God has given them to do or even just what they're talking about, you know. They're passionate about it. None of us, and I've said it before, doesn't matter if it's long or short or loud or soft, if somebody preaches the Word of God, we ought to listen to it. If it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. It's not the preacher, it's the Word of God. However, I would much rather listen to somebody who has some passion about what he's saying. And this is exactly what we find in Philippians chapter number 2. Paul has some passion about what he's talking about here. Look at verse number 1, if you will. He says, if there be therefore. Now, remember in the latter part of chapter number 1, in verse number 27, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So as Paul is going to begin to speak about this matter of service, he's going to continue that thought of one mind, of one spirit, of standing fast in one spirit, of striving together, for the faith of the gospel. So notice what he says in verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And don't miss that in verse number 1. Actually, let's go ahead and read. We'll get to that in just a moment. In verse 3, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then verse number 5, let this mind be in you. We have three lets, L-E-T. We have three of those in these first five verses. He says in verse number 3, we have two of them right there in verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So tonight, I want to jump right into the message, and I want us to see, we're talking about the matter of servant of all, and we're going to speak about Jesus Christ in really tonight and in really in all three messages. But tonight, I want us to see Paul's passionate exhortation to the church at Philippi about this matter of service. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Could we do that? Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to be able to come together, to be able to meet, to be able to gather around your word, and to be able to worship around it, and to be able to listen to it and hear it and receive it, and Father, to apply it to our lives. And I pray that we would do exactly that tonight. Father, I'm thankful for this place that you have raised up right here in this little portion of the world. And Father, I'm thankful for the servants that you brought together here. And Father, I pray that you would continue us. And I pray that you continue to bless and help us, continue to help us to be unified, as Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi to be unified, to be of one mind, of one accord, of one love. And Father, I pray that that would be the same for us. Father, help us to never allow the enemy to cause division or strife or to separate very friends, as you tell us in your word. And so, Father, I pray that you'd remind us tonight and teach us, and we'll surely give you the praise and glory for it and for what you'll do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're speaking about Paul's passionate exhortation. So, number one tonight, I want us to see there in verse number one, I want us to see the statement that is rhetorical. The statement, you say, Pastor, normally it's a question that is rhetorical. Absolutely. But Paul's making a statement, and it is rhetorical. He says in verse number one, and don't miss, look how many times he uses the word if. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Now let me ask us tonight, is there? But Paul, he's trying to provoke their thoughts. And he says, look, I want you to be of one mind. In verse number two, he's going to bring that statement in verse number one. He's going to bring it to a climax, or at least he's going to bring it to really what he's getting at. He wants them to fulfill his joy. And what is going to make Paul joyful? What is going to make Paul rejoice? What's going to make Paul rejoice is that he hears that the believers at Philippi are like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's what's going to make him joyful. That's what's going to cause him to rejoice. And so in verse number one, he says, look, if there be any consolation in Christ, is there? Yes. If any comfort of love. Is there comfort in the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way, is there comfort in the knowledge of the love that a church family has for each other? Is there? Sure. And that's the point. Paul knows that they understand this. Paul knows it. The church at Philippi knows it. He goes on. He gives forward here in verse number one. He says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Should there be fellowship in the Spirit? Absolutely. And then he says, if any bowels and mercies, should there be, or is there compassion? Should there be compassion? Should there be mercy? That phrase, bowels and mercy, speaks of almost the deepest type of compassion and mercy. And he says, if there be any of this, and if there is, and Paul knows, and the church at Philippi knows, whether they want to admit it or not, all that's true. And he says, if all of this is true, then you can fulfill my joy. You can be of one mind. You can be of one love. So the statement, we see first of all, the statement that is rhetorical. There's nothing that needs to be answered because we know it's true. We know that there's consolation. There is encouragement. There's hope. There's peace in Christ. We know that. By the way, if you can, hold your place there and go back to John chapter number 14. We're not going to go to a lot of places tonight, but I do want to go to a few. John chapter number 14 tonight. The statement that is rhetorical, we do have consolation in Christ. We do have peace. We do have encouragement in Christ. And that's who we are. We are a body of believers in Christ. John chapter number 14 and verse number 27. Notice this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's not a Hannity quote, that's Bible. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so Paul says, if there be any consolation, is there? That word consolation, who was the individual in the Scriptures that was the man of consolation, the encourager? Barnabas. He says, look, if there be any consolation in Christ, any peace, any hope, any encouragement, is there? Absolutely, we know that. All right, he goes on. So number one, we do have consolation in Christ. Number two, we do have comfort in the love of Christ. We do have consolation in Christ. We do have comfort in the love of Christ. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Let me read you a verse if I could. You can turn there if you'd like. But Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But verse number 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible says, by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. And so the Apostle Paul, he says, my joy is going to be full when I hear about your unity. He said, okay, is there any consolation? Do you have any peace? Do you have any encouragement? Do you have any hope in Christ? Absolutely. Do you have any comfort of love? Has Christ proven Himself that He loves you? Does that bring you comfort? Boy, I don't know about you, but the song that the choir sang this morning, God of all comfort, the healer of wounded hearts, searching the hidden parts, He's the God of all comfort. And so Paul says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, is that true? Absolutely. If any fellowship of the Spirit. So we do have consolation in Christ. We do have comfort in the love of Christ. Let me give you thirdly, we do have companionship in Christ. He says there in verse number 1, if any fellowship of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. We all have the same Spirit. By the way, you don't have a different Spirit than I do. If you do, that's a problem. People talk about having spirits. The same Spirit I have. No, we have the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have fellowship because of the Spirit. And so Paul, again, he's just making this, he's making the case. It's a statement that is rhetorical. It doesn't need to be answered because they know it's true. We do have consolation in Christ. We do have comfort in the love of Christ. We do have companionship in Christ, fellowship of the Spirit. And then fourthly, we do have compassion in Christ. He says there, the last part of verse number 1, if any bowels and mercies. Hey, dear church family, church at Philippi, are there any bowels and mercies because of what Christ has done for you as the church, as the called out assembly, as this local church there in Philippi? Are there any bowels and mercies? And again, that word bowels, we think of that word and it's kind of it's not a word we use all the time, right? Because it's kind of a, bodily word, you know, but for them, that word bowels was, it was the innermost emotions and innermost mercies. And he says, if there be any bowels and mercies, and are there in Christ? Absolutely. Go probably just a few pages over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. The statement that is rhetorical. We do have consolation in Christ. We do have comfort in the love of Christ. We do have companionship in Christ. We do have compassion in Christ. Colossians chapter number 3. Verse number 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He's speaking to Christians and he's speaking about how they should live. But notice verse number 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What did he tell them to put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness. Humbleness specifically of mind. Meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so Paul's just making this case. Now, it's apparent that there was some strife and division in this church. We do know we have one specific example in chapter number 4, verse number 2, Paul tells two ladies that they ought to be of the same mind. And so there was obviously some division, some discord, if you will, and it probably wasn't just those two. And Paul is saying, look, do you have any consolation in Christ? Do you have any comfort in the love of Christ? Is the love of God shed abroad in your hearts? Yes. Do you have any companionship in Christ? Yes, we have the fellowship of the Spirit. Do you have any compassion? Any bowels and mercies? Yes. Okay. Then verse number 2. Number 1, we see the statement that is rhetorical. Number 2, we see the sameness that is rejoicing. The sameness that is rejoicing. Now, please don't misunderstand tonight. That doesn't mean all of us are exactly the same, does it? We don't look the same. We don't talk the same. We don't have the same characteristics. We're speaking about exactly what he is speaking about in the text. Notice what he says in verse number 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy. Okay, this is what they should be the same in. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The statement that is rhetorical, the sameness that is rejoicing. Paul said, I want my joy to be full, and it's going to be full if y'all be like-minded. If y'all will be of the same mind, of the same love, and of the same accord. The sameness that is rejoicing. One love, one accord, and one mind. We should be like-minded. We should be like-minded. That doesn't mean we all have the same personalities. That doesn't mean we all think the same regarding all issues of life outside of the Scripture. But we should be like-minded when it comes to truth. We should be like-minded. Look, if you would, at verse 2. And by the way, this is where the wheels start coming off of the car for many people in Christianity today. Because we take this passage, or people take this passage, and they say, see, we're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be like-minded. But what they want to do is they want me to be like-minded when it comes to their error. And we can't do that. See, we're supposed to be unified. So see, you're supposed to accept whatever I believe. Not if it goes against the Word of God. So yes, we are supposed to be like-minded. Look what he says in verse number 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth. See, Paul's not telling them in verses 2 through 4 to give up truth so that you can be like-minded. He's telling them in verses 2 through 4, you be like-minded, you have one love, you be of one accord, you be of one mind. And in verse number 16, he says, holding forth what? The word of life. See, Paul's not backing down on the Bible, and he's not backing down on the word of God. He tells them in verse number 6, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hey, let me show you another passage, if I could. I would like for you to go here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. We should be like-minded when it comes to the things of the Word of God. When it comes to truth as a church, we should be like-minded. Now, that demands some things, doesn't it? What's one of the first things that demands? What? Okay, humility. But even more than that. Faith, obedience. Huh? Okay, death to self. Okay, abiding in Christ. There you go. If we're going to be like-minded, yeah, all those are true. We're going to have to be humble. We're going to have to die to self. All of those are absolutely true. But if we're going to be like-minded, there must be a desire to know what the truth is, right? Because if someone walks in here and starts preaching or speaking things that aren't true, there ought to be some little antennas on all of our heads. No, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. And if we're going to be like, and this is where the problem arises. Because we have so many in Christianity today who don't have that desire. It's just, you know, I go to church on Sunday morning and I fulfilled my duty and I feel good about myself, and I'll go home and Sunday afternoon I'll do my thing, and Monday through Saturday I'll do my thing, and I won't think anything about what happened on Sunday morning. And they don't know what the truth is. But they're a part of this church. And I say this church, I'm not talking about our church, but they're a part of the church that they go to. And so they go to this church and they don't know what truth is. They don't know what the Bible says. They have a desire to be like-minded, I believe that, but they can't because they don't know what the Bible says. They don't have a desire to know the truth. So then you have a lot of voices. Well, I think this is right, and I think this is right, and well, I think this is right. And you know, I have a friend at work that says this is right. It doesn't matter what my friend at work says. What does the Bible say? And by the way, let me say this. It does matter, but in the same vein, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. What does the Bible say? Because if the pastor says something wrong and something that's not true, somebody needs to confront on that. And he says we need to be like-minded. Look, I had you turn to 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, Timothy. Just come out of chapter number 1. He's speaking about, in verse number 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Then he comes to chapter 2 and he says, oh, well, in the latter part of chapter 1, he mentions Onesiphorus. He refreshed me. And then in chapter 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Hey, Timothy, you need to stand and you need to stay, but you're only going to be able to do it by the grace of God. All these others are leaving. All those in Asia, Hermogenes and Philegelus, they've left. But Timothy, the grace of God is that which will enable you to stand. And he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And notice what he says in verse number 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." What's the next two words? The same. The same. See, there is a sameness that is rejoicing. Paul says, "I want my joy to be full, and it's going to be full when we are like-minded, when we're of one accord, when we're of one love, and when we are of one mind." He says, the same. Hey, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. You have five individuals mentioned there. You have the Apostle Paul. You have Timothy. You have faithful, or you have witnesses. And then you have faithful men. And you have others. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, "That which you've heard from faithful men, the same commit thou," from many witnesses. He says, "The same commit thou to" who? Faithful men. Faithful men. There's a dividing word there, and it's the word faithful. He said, "You commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And see, every single one of us tonight ought to have a desire to be faithful. And every single one of us tonight ought to have a desire to know, what is truth? What is true? And so first of all, the sameness that is rejoicing, we should be like-minded. But let me give you number two. We should be like-minded. But number two, we should be lowly-minded. We should be... Now, by the way, that doesn't mean we compromise truth. Don't. Don't do what a lot of people do with this passage. And they say, okay, so we, for us to be... everybody wants to get along, so... I'll let down what I have to let down so we can all get along. No! That's the problem today. We're giving up truth for unity. That's what we unify around. We unify around truth. We don't unify around error. We unify around truth. And so we're to be like-minded, but in the midst of being like-minded, we're to be lowly-minded. Look what he says here. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy," verse 2, "that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Boy, the same love, one accord, and one mind. Listen, friend, I should love the Word of God so much that I want to know what it says. I should love my Savior so much that I should want to know what He has said to me. And the letter that he has written to me. This right here. Listen, when I was in college, we used to have this mail system. It was called Panhellenic Mail. They don't do that. Do they still do that? At Pensacola, they don't do that anymore. Hey, slippery slope right there, I'm telling you. I'm just kidding. We used to have this mail system called Panhellenic Mail. How many of you in college, y'all use that? Anybody else have that? Roman Carey, y'all didn't have that? Y'all didn't have that at Maranatha? It's official. It's official. Yeah, we're old. Did y'all have that then when y'all were? Y'all still had it? They're just as old as we are. No, hey, we're saved. We're good. They're just as old as we are. We had this thing called Panhellenic Mail. And what it was, you would write a letter or you would, whatever. You could bake somebody cookies. I don't know how you do it because you weren't supposed to bake in the room, but you could go buy somebody's somebody cookies, and they had these boxes, and you could put it there. This is supposed to go to Dixon Tower, Bradley Tower, wherever it's supposed to go. Well, there would be people who would come and pick up the mail, and they would take it to the other residence halls. And man, what do you think when you get a letter? Man, you've been in class all day, and you've studied, and it's about time for bed, it's about time for prayer group, and you come into your room, and there on your bed, it's a letter. Sometimes you're going to read it as fast as you can. Sometimes you're like, you know, I'm going to wait till after prayer group. I'm just going to save it till after prayer group. But I'm going to tell you what, I read it, no matter when I read it, because I wanted to see what was in it. One night, she wrote me a letter. And by the way, I am talking about her. She wrote me a letter, and she cut it up into puzzle pieces. My roommate and I spent an hour and a half putting that puzzle together. Like, first of all, this isn't a regular puzzle. These pieces are just... But you know what I did? I put it together. Because I wanted to read what it said. Listen, shouldn't we have the love for Christ the same way that we want to know what He has written to us? He's given us a letter. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, church at Philippi, you need to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So first of all, we should be like-minded. Number two, we should be lowly-minded. He says in verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Again, that's not talking about compromise, but it's simply talking about us thinking about ourselves less than somebody else. It's talking about being gracious. It's talking about having some bowels and mercies. That's talking about, you know what, I don't always have to have my way. He says we need to be lowly minded. And he tells us what that means here. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let everyone in the church and the church family think about others more than they think about themselves. Esteem others more than they esteem themselves. Now, we don't know what the division was. Maybe there were some folks in the church who were trying to fight for positions. We don't know. And they're trying to step over each other to get a position. We don't know. But there was something going on. And he said, look, you need to be lowly minded. Esteem others better than yourselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Listen, you can have the shrimp and steak tonight. I'll let you have it. Because I want to think of you more than me. I'm serious. That's silly, but that's the idea. You see, you think about somebody else before you think about yourself. You think about your church family and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ before you think about yourself. So first of all, the sameness that is rejoicing, we should be like-minded, we should be lowly-minded. And then thirdly, verse number 5, we should be Lord Jesus Christ minded. And by the way, Caleb mentioned it early. What mind is that? It's the mind of humility. In verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of humility. So there's a statement we see in verse number 1 that is rhetorical. Paul said, look, you have consolation, you have comfort, you have companionship, you have compassion, okay? Because of that, you can fulfill my joy. And my joy is that you be like-minded. So secondly, we have the sameness that is rejoicing. One love, one accord, one mind. We should be like-minded, we should be lowly-minded, we should be Lord Jesus Christ-minded. By the way, you don't have to turn there. We know the two verses, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1, but verse 2 is really the verse I want us to fix our attention on tonight. Verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen, friend, as much as we have to die daily and die to self daily, we have to renew our minds daily. And we have to let the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have, you know, it would be an okay thing and it would be a good thing if every day when you went to the Lord in prayer, you simply said, Lord, I want your mind today on every decision, on everything I do today. I want your mind. And by the way, we can't have that. Because he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'll speak much more to that next week. The sameness that is rejoicing, the statement that is rhetorical. And then thirdly, just quickly, we see the selfishness that is a reproach. We find in Philippians 2 verses 1 through 4, we find the enemies of unity. And the enemies of unity are strife and self. We could really say they both go together, but there's no strife if there's not self, if there's not pride and selfishness, but self and strife. He says in verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing. You paint a room, ought not be any strife about it. Now, you may have strife at home, but it ought not be here at church. You paint a room at church, ought not be any strife. Now we can discuss and, you know, what color are we going to do, but there shouldn't be any strife. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, self. Vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The selfishness, that is a reproach. These are the enemies of unity. It is a reproach to the name of Christ, to the cause of Christ, to the church of Christ, for us to have strife and discord and selfishness, self raise its ugly head. That's a reproach to the name of Christ. I mean, what does the world think about the church? What does the world think about the church? That all that go to church are what? Hypocrites. I'm not going to go to church because it's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. By the way, if somebody ever tells you that, you should just say, well, that's okay. You need to come on. One more won't hurt. Because the truth is, all of us at some point are hypocrites. It's just true. Well, maybe not on purpose. But sometimes even we do hypocritical things and sometimes we don't mean to. And if somebody tells you, and again, that's a silly argument, right? It really is. And I understand because, hey, and here's what does make the difference. Because people still go to Walmart and there's hypocrites everywhere at Walmart. But here's what does make the difference. We're supposed to be different. And when we're not, that's the first thing they focus on. There's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. It'd be a wonderful thing. And they say that because many times all they hear is the infighting that goes on in churches. That's what they hear about. And so they automatically think, man, just a bunch of hypocrites. All they do is fight with each other. That's a reproach. It's a reproach to the name of Christ. And listen, I'm thankful tonight, and we're definitely, and I hate to even use this because we shouldn't even have to say it, but we're definitely not perfect. We have our flaws. We have many flaws, I'm sure. But I'm thankful that doesn't go on here. I'm thankful the strife and the vainglory. I mean, there'll be discussions at times, and sometimes they even may get a little... Hey, I think we ought to do this. Well, I don't. I think we ought to do this, you know. And sometimes, you know, it can get a little, but boy, there's never any strife or discord. And there's never any vainglory. People seeking their own. And that's, by the way, that's the way it ought to be. And Paul said, if you'll do that, church at Philippi, you'll fulfill my joy. Church at Philippi, look, there is consolation, there is comfort, there is companionship, the fellowship of the Spirit, there is compassion, bowels, and mercies. And because of that, you can fulfill my joy. More specifically, he's saying you can be unified, like-minded, lowly-minded, Lord Jesus Christ-minded. And I challenge us tonight, if we're going to be like-minded, then we need to know what the Bible says. We need to know what the Bible says. And maybe tonight you would say, you know, sometimes in the Sunday school class, Brother Snow says something. I'm not sure what that is. Or maybe teenagers, sometimes Mr. Snow says something. And boy, that you've never heard of that. Listen, let's study more. Let's get into the Word of God more. Let's have personal Bible study on our own, Sunday through Sunday, Sunday through Saturday, and know what the Word of God says. There was a statement that was rhetorical. There's a sameness that is rejoicing. Same mind, same love. And there is a selfishness that is a reproach. And God help us, that would never be the case here. If we ever see that start happening, boy, we ought to... What does Barney say? Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud quickly. We shouldn't ever reference TV shows, should we? But Barney's pretty safe most of the time. Should take care of it quickly. And that's what Paul desires for the church at Philippi. Hey, there's a little bit amiss. Hey, it's a good church, but a little bit amiss. Some strife, some discord. Let's take care of that. We should be like-minded. Father, thank you for the passage tonight. Thank you for your word. Father, help us to be so. Father, thank you for Paul's passionate exhortation. He's exhorting them to serve. And Father, he's going to give them the most supreme example of service. Father, what a wonderful passage in verses 5 through 8. We look forward to that next week. The servant of all. He gives us the greatest example of humility, of being lowly-minded. Father, may we follow that. Father, may you help us tonight. Father, as best I know, Father, we have a church full of individuals who have a desire to be like-minded and lowly-minded and Lord Jesus Christ-minded. Father, as best I know, that's the case. But Father, if there would be one here tonight that in their honest heart, they would say, you know, there's been a little bit of strife in my heart toward this brother in Christ, and Lord, I need to get that right tonight. Lord, may we deal with those things tonight if we need to. Lord, if we have aught in our hearts toward another, may we get that right tonight. Let nothing in this place be done through strife or vainglory. May we be able, every single day of our lives, may we be able to say, those things that are done at Maranatha Baptist Church, and those things that are done by its members every single day of the week, they are pleasing to our Savior. Oh, that we would be able to say that. Father, help us tonight, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're physically able to stand. Miss Pam's at the piano. She's going to play. If you need to come, come. If you need to take some time and pray. The sameness that is rejoicing. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Having the same mind, the same love, the same accord. Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. And let's head over to the gym and fellowship together. And we'll pray once again when we get over there and pray for the food. And once we get everything out, probably take just a couple minutes. And we'll pray over there and we'll fellowship together. Brother Jackie Moore, would you dismiss us tonight, please, sir?